Good afternoon, Peter. How are you?
Hi, I'm well.
Okay, then, I know you're Dublin. This survey, it's a quarterly survey. So how long has it been going on?
Well, firstly, it's called Your Dublin, Your Voice, and there's a very good website, Your Dublin, Your Voice, if people want to see the totality of the survey. And we've been running this since 2010, and there is approximately 4,500 people on the panel that are surveyed. And again, people can join that if they wish through the website. And this particular survey that was run a couple of weeks ago had 1,200 respondents.
Mm-hmm. Anything surprising in it over the years?
Well, of course, there have been surprising issues in it in terms of people's perception of the city and some of the issues people have about the city, particularly about safety and security in the city. But, you know, this particular one focused on perception. It focused on the city motto. It focused on Dublin as a smart city. I wouldn't say there were massive surprises across it. I mean, clearly on the smart city one, people were very adamant that there needed to be a more all-prevalent city Wi-Fi system to encourage people to use different apps and that as they travel and move throughout the city.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the thing that the survey you did yesterday about Wi-Fi around the country. I mean, it wouldn't be involved in Dublin, but 15% was hard to take in the country that haven't got it at all.
Well, that's 15% about broadband.
Broadband
to the home. Obviously, yeah. That's a separate
issue.
But, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't have that problem in Dublin. I tell you the one thing that surprised me. I was talking to a few people about this and from Dublin and just sort of getting an idea of what they thought as well. Art and culture always surprised me. I'm always giving out about it because we're great for going abroad now and coming back and extolling all the wonderful sights that we see abroad. And yet, when you ask a lot of Dublin people, have you been to the National Museum or a few of our other outstanding features, that you'd say, oh no, I must get to that. Was that in the survey?
No, I mean, what the survey did, the nature of the survey was it did ask people, for example, what do other cities have that Dublin doesn't have?
Mm-hmm.
And in that context, obviously, a lot of issues coming up were cheaper rents, you know, better public transport, those related to things like Berlin, equally in the area of kind of Copenhagen transport, you know, came as a general kind of reaction. London, obviously, the whole nightlife, entertainment stuff came up. Again, transport, but London is a very large city. These are three cities that people kind of focused on as offering something that Dublin, they felt, you know, could learn from. But we weren't focusing particularly on the nature of the cultural, you know, kind of cultural offerings in Dublin in this particular survey.
Yeah, well, in our discussion actually on this, what a big bone of contention that come up all the time in comparison, especially with the rest of Europe, was you've mentioned there yourself, the transport was a big, as I say, a bone of contention, that how lacking it was and there'd be no foresight in it at all.
Well, I think that's changing, and obviously the whole kind of emphasis on Dublin bikes and the whole cycling culture has improved the movement around the city. But clearly, you know, more availability of public transport is something people want to see, and that's what City Council is working to bring about, particularly in the centre city area. It is interesting, we did ask people what attracts people as tourists into Dublin, and again, we found if you look at the top kind of four elements of that, the friendliness of people, so that came ahead of everything else, and then the perception of Dublin as a fun city, a good place to be. Interestingly, Dublin providing excellent value for money, which kind of contradicts a little bit on the transport side. And then obviously the rich history and the pub music nightlife culture. So you had a lot of stuff there that relates to how Dubliners think Dublin is attractive to people coming to visit.
Mm-hmm. I think there on the expense aspect of it, when you were surprised, I'd be surprised as well. But I think it's a lot like other cities, that when you just go in at an off street, not in the main street, you will find stuff cheaper to eat and coffees and even the pubs.
Yeah, well, again, remember, London is, we were there last week with the Dublin Coach as part of the Mayor's Parade. London is not a cheap city nowadays, and particularly if you're coming from a Eurozone country.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're attracting more and more tourists out of Europe. So London can be quite an expensive place to be in, and yet it's one of the cities we're competing with for tourists.
Mm-hmm. And now, one thing that, when we were in our discussion, because I was reading up on it, that and I asked the people, and I didn't know that actually Dublin has a motto. And it's 400 years old, and I think everyone was of the opinion that it should be changed by now, and they're surprised that it hasn't been, because it's rather like a pedantic motto.
Right. Well, the first thing is that you not knowing isn't surprising, considering that 65% of the people responded saying said they didn't know that Dublin had a motto. So you're in the majority on that. I'm not sure that we had a clear-cut result in terms of should we replace it or move it on. I mean, what we did get, for example, is 40% of people saying it should change to reflect the reality of today's society, but 36% of people, which is quite close, were saying it's part of a historic tradition and shouldn't change, and then about 24% said, you know, it really doesn't matter, they're not important, so they don't have a view one way or the other. The Dublin motto goes back to, it's a Latin, in Latin, translated from Latin, it means obedient citizens make for a happy city. So it wouldn't strike you as the most democratic kind of statement. And I suppose in one way, you know, mottos should reflect the value system of a city. So we didn't have a clear-cut kind of majority in favour of removing it, and yet we did obviously have a substantial proportion of the 100%, 46% saying it should change. Now, we asked people to suggest ideas about what that change should be, and we had different things. A lot of it coming back to people, you know, a kind of a happy place, friendly citizens. These would be words that would be worked into it. But again, diversity is a key word that came up there again, because it's quite a diverse cosmopolitan city today. So we linked that, by the way, to the whole idea of what landmarks in Dublin people felt represented the city. And not surprisingly, the Hapenny Bridge and Trinity College and the GPO came way up the top there. And, you know, again, the other kind of things that attracted people, they felt, to the city in terms of identification was the Georgian architecture, the Phoenix Park, Croke Park itself, and obviously Guinness and St. Patrick's Cathedral. So there was a lot of links there. If you're thinking motto, you've got to think place and you've got to think people. And you've got to kind of look at how you work a new motto. But certainly the motto issue doesn't have majority support, and doesn't have majority support the other direction for getting rid of it. So it's
strange one, Harry. I was just thinking, I mean, in our discussion, actually, all the places you mentioned came up as well. In the thing you did on the motto, it goes to show how, as Irish people, how slow we are to change. 36% sort of, leave it as it is, and it's not making any difference. That sort of attitude, but it has. We have been known to be slow to change as a race.
Absolutely, and the only thing is that, to respect the 36%, you know, I mean, the view there was very much as part of a historic tradition. So sometimes the motto is something that, you know, carries out of history. So I suppose the real question is, do we update it to reflect today's society and today's kind of modern view of the world, or do we stay with what would have been a historical view? Now, in fairness, 400 years old is a lot younger than the city.
Yes.
So the city goes back well over 1,000 years. So 400 years reflects a view of the city at a point in time, which, if my history is correct, is around the Middle Ages pages, or Middle Ages period. So in that sense, the idea of rethinking it at this time for the modern age would seem to be a good one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a paraphrase on actually the Latin version, which would be, the citizen's obedience is the city's happiness. And my suggestion would be, the citizens make the city's happiness. Take out the word obedience and you're laughing.
Yeah, that's true. It could work.
How long is the survey going to run for, Peter? Because
this particular survey, we run a number in the year. This one is closed now, so we're just publishing the results of it. And as I say, you'll find the full results on the website, Your Dublin, Your Voice. And the next survey will happen in January. We run about 4 a year, and if somebody out there listening would like to join the panel, we'd really appreciate them joining it, and all they have to do is go to Your Dublin, Your Voice and sign up for it. And we do incentivize people participating in the survey with small prizes, you know, which are picked at random from people who complete individual surveys. You can actually on the website also do a quick poll on your view of the city. And that might be of interest to people as well, in terms of the the current results that are up there on it. And mm-hmm. just as I'm talking to you, I'm actually going to pull up the current results, because it's basically based around people's opinion of the city at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, if I can just...
I'm sure you've had no shortage of people going forward for the panels.
Well, no, we have a good spread of people, but obviously we'd like to increase. 4,500 is a good number.
Mm-hmm.
1,200 of a response is excellent. You know, normally most of the national surveys that are done around people's opinions are set at about 1,000. So getting 1,200 out of Dublin is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have is that quick shout-out. And, you know, I mean, what do people love most about Dublin? For example, 42% are saying it's people, 19% it's culture, 22% it's history, 13% it's social scene, and 5% it's city characters, which no doubt includes yourself as a phenomenal radio character there on that particular show.
Okay, right. Yeah, very kind. Would you think that the perceptions in the course of the 100 years next year would change in the first 3 months maybe, or in the first 6 months of next year?
Yeah, well, as I say, the perception survey on a number of occasions. It probably would. There's some very interesting, obviously, people's historic view of the city will be renewed in the context of the celebrations of 1916. But again, 1916 was one point in our history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, you know, the Battle of Clontarf was point in our history. And I think what will be more interesting in 2016 is to begin to see where people see the city going in the next 100 years. So
mm-hmm.
when you celebrate 100 years and you look back, it's also an occasion to say, where would we like to be 100 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in a much more globalized world, you know, where does Dublin sit? Because 100 years ago, transport movement, movement of people, etc., Dublin would have been a very... you know, a very uncomplicated place in terms of the range of nationalities and that are there. Today, we have a cosmopolitan city. We have a city that's high tech. We have a city that, you know, has attracted young people from throughout the world. So, you know, how do we see ourselves 100 years from now will be equally important.
And would they look upon it as, because of the expanse of the city and the way, as I say, it has gotten bigger and bigger, that be taken into equation as well?
Well, when we do this survey, we're covering the entire Dublin area, so it's a joint exercise on behalf of the four local authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, you're capturing the spread of the city. And clearly that has gone into neighbouring counties like Meath and Kildare, Wicklow. In fact, you could almost recruit your Dublin football team from some of those counties these days.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we need to obviously create a more dense core in the city. And that's part of the drive on the new city development plan. You know, how can we solidify population closer to the core of the city rather than continuing that urban spread that has happened in past decades? And we're well on the way to doing that. The revitalization and development of areas like the Docklands, you know, and Ballymun, for example,
mm-hmm.
are taking that mission forward. But we can do more of that in the years ahead.
Yeah, and it's a great survey for discussion. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I really enjoyed the discussion we had there, because you just mentioned there the Docklands. And most people, I think, are really astounded how the change in the past, particularly 10, 15 years of the whole Docklands area, how it has become a place where not to avoid anymore, where it used to be places where people walk now, and it's a pleasure to walk down, especially on the north side of it, going down to the point. It's absolutely wonderful. So it's a great discussion point. Can I ask you, Peter, about where you mentioned cosmopolitan there and multiculturalism, and age obviously comes in there, where the perceptions of people of different ages would be totally different as well, where there's no nostalgia with young people as such.
Yeah, I mean, we have an age breakdown, as you can see from the site, on,
mm-hmm.
you know, people's perception on different issues. If I just pick kind of the area of perceiving Dublin as, you know, in terms of the motto issue, how does it represent the citizens? And the people who were kind of saying it represents it very well, for example, clearly were largely in the retired factor,
mm-hmm.
are looking, you know, working at home. Now, this is obviously a breakdown what's the old saying? Percentages never lie, but you know, liars use percentages. You know, you can break these things up different directions, but when you look at the age profile, definitely you seem to have more people in the older age brackets who would be of the opinion that the model is okay, and less people in the younger age brackets. So those are realities that you will tend to have a greater, dare I say, conservative view of things as you're looking at. In terms of the whole business sentiment, you know, about the area of perceiving Dublin as being a good place to do business, you know, business sentiment in Dublin as being excellent or good at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's interesting, the age group there that was largest was the 31 to the 45. So if you combine that with the 18 to 30 age group, it's actually the older people who were less positive. Now, it's a very small difference in it. And actually, when you look at it by employment status, 80% of students, which is very good, see Dublin as a positive place in terms of business opportunities and jobs. So that's quite good. And obviously then, you know, where you have people who are unable to work or, you know, have retired due to permanent illness or disability, they would be a smaller group on that percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a strange one. I find some of that surprising, I have to say. And I suppose you get more surprised as it goes on. Now, you're looking for people for the panel because you'll be starting just after Christmas. You're Dublin, your voice, .ie, is it, Peter?
Yes, .ie.
Okay, and anyone at all? It doesn't matter ages. You're not looking for anyone in particular for the first quarter?
No. These panels work best if they're a spread of ages and groups and conditions. So, I mean, at the moment, for example, we have a very good, on that particular one, 48% of our respondents were male, 52% were female. We had an age kind of profile right across the ages. Probably our smallest age capacity was 18 to 30. Then we had 31 to 45 at 42 and 46 to 65, for example, at 39. Mm-hmm. We also had people working full-time, people who had retired, people who were at home looking after family, people who were students. And then we had a fair, now around 54% comes from the Dublin City Council area, and we had about 16% from South Dublin, 11% Dunleary, 15% Fingal, and then 3% who don't know where they're from, or at least we don't know where they're from. But so it's a reasonable balance, and therefore I'd encourage anyone out there, any age, any position, sign up. There's a chance of winning something if you complete a survey. You can throw your ideas in as well, but it means your voice is being heard, and that's why it's called Your Dublin, Your Voice. It's Dublin City Council's way of saying, look, we believe the people of this city have a right to give their opinion about where the city is at, and we need to listen to that.
Okay, and I'm sure everybody does, and congratulations. As I said, it's a great talking point, and if people look into it and just get it up there, it's amazing. It's how the difference, I mean, some of the ages that you were talking about in reference to our comments on it surprised me a little bit. But Peter, thank you very much for talking to us here in NairFM, and I'm sure we'll be talking to maybe in the course of the middle of the year next year to see how things maybe have changed, or maybe
being Irish,
nothing changes at all. Okay.
Well, things change. You only have to look around the city to see how it's changing. So listen, thanks a million. Take care, Peter.
Thank you very much. Bye. And that's Peter Finnegan, Executive Manager of the Dublin City Council. If you want to get involved in that survey, it's your Dublin, your voice.ie.